Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Kiddushin Daf Yud Dalid. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins 8 lines from the top of Daf Yud Dalet. On the side, you'll notice a nosei, a topic heading, which reads, Minolon diavoma koines atzmo ayadei chalitza. From where do we know that which we saw in the Mishnah, that the yavoma acquires her independence, her release from the bond to the yavam, to her brother-in-law, through the shoe removal ceremony? The Gemara. Bechalitza. Minolon. From where do we know that chalitza enables the yavoma to now marry anyone she wants? Dichtiv, v'nikro shmoi b'Yisrael beis chalutza nal. And we dash in this pasuk, kevon shecholatz bo nal. Once she removes the shoe from his foot, hutra l'chol Yisrael. She becomes allowed to marry anyone she wants. We look at Rashi, just a couple lines up from here. We have a little star in there to help you find it. Bisrael, beis chalutz. Hochi mashma. Bisrael. The word Bisrael means ruyo lahavi labayis mi shecholza. She is fit to be brought into someone else's house at the point that she removes the brother-in-law's shoe, the chalitza ceremony. The Gemara asks, and we have a new marking, so we turn to the side of the Gemara under the Mivneh, the structural note, which features these house shapes. Kushos al hamokur shuva kedei lalame diavoma kines atz mechalitza. We're raising questions on the pasuk that we just cited as the source that is supposed to teach us that the yavoma is now allowed after the shoe removal to marry anyone she wants. So the Gemara asks, "Hi Yisrael, lahochi hu da'asa? Does the word Yisrael come to tell us that point that she's muteris to marry anyone she wants? Hi mi boyale lichedes toni Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda. I need it for the following teaching of Rav Shmuel. Be Yisrael, quote from the pasuk, be basin shel Yisrael velo be basin shel geirim, that the chalitza ceremony must take place in a court of Jews that are, we'll say, pedigree Jews and not converts." The Gemara says, "Trei b'Yisrael k'sivi." I have two times the word b'Yisrael appears. The other pasuk is v'hokim l'achiv shem b'Yisrael. So that enables me to derive both points: her permission to marry anyone she wants, and the exclusion of a beis din of gerim. Question: V'akati miboyale l'chadisanya. Do I still not need b'Yisrael for something else? Omer Rabbi Yehuda. On one occasion, we were seated in the presence of Rabbi Tarfon, and a Yavoma came for Chalitza, and Rabbi Tarfon told us, "Anu kulchem v'yomru," is when the ceremony takes place, you're supposed to respond, "Chalotzanal, Chalutzanal." So that is what B'Yisrael is supposedly teaching me, the need for the those assembled to respond with this saying. The Gemara says, "Hahu," that point, the need for the assembled to respond is v'nikra shmoi, from the expression v'nikra shmo, that's found in the pasuk nafka. It's learned from that. V'nikra is to proclaim. So that's the instruction to those assembled to make that proclamation. Uvamisas hayavam. The Yavoma acquires her independence through the death of the husband's surviving brother, the Yavam's death. Minolan, from where do we know that his death enables her to marry anyone she wants? Kal v'chomer, from the following Kal v'chomer logic. Uma eishes ish shehi v'chenek, mises habal mati rosa, in the case of a fully married woman, and for someone to have relations with her while married, it carries with it the capital punishment of strangulation. So eishes ish is a rather severe offense, and the death of the husband enables the married woman, now a widow, to marry anyone she wants. So that you see that a weighty type status is relieved or released through misas habal, through the death of the husband. Yevoma shibalav, the prohibition of a yevoma in marrying anyone she wants would be a negative command. The pasuk says lo tia eishes hameis hachutza liish zar. It's called a yevoma lashuk. For her to marry someone else while she's bound would be a lesser violation. A negative command is being violated, but it doesn't carry with it a capital punishment. So lo kol shekein, all the more so the death of the yevom should enable her to be released. After all, it's not as weighty an offense, and we're in a weighty situation. The death of the husband releases her, so all the more so over here. We're going to be using a double underline to highlight pirchos, rejections of the logic that's being suggested. So here's pircha number one. Ma liyeshes ish, how can you derive yevoma through kal v'chomer from eishes ish? That's allowed through the death of her husband. Shekein yotza beget. We know that there are other means of the eishes ish going free, for example, through a divorce document. So since there's already precedent for her being allowed to marry others through a divorce document, so it stands to reason that Eishes Ish can be released through the death of the husband. Tomar Bazu, Shena Yotze Beget. The Yevoma doesn't experience release from the levirate bond through a get. So just like she doesn't become free to marry with a get, maybe she doesn't become free to marry with the death of the Yevom. The Gemara says, but still, fine, she doesn't get released through a get, but Honami Yotze Bechalitza. There still is precedent with regard to the Yevoma of alternative means of release, namely the shoe removal ceremony. So just like the shoe removal ceremony releases her, so too the death of the Yevom could release her. So that we don't have any problem yet with suggesting death of Yevom releasing her. Ah, but we have a question. Pircha number two. Ela ma liyeshes ish. If you're trying to derive the Yevoma from the death, in the case of Eishes Ish, death of the husband, Shekein Osra Matira. There, the husband is the one that created the prohibition in the first place. Once she got married to him, she can't marry anyone else. So, the one that caused the restriction, his death is that which releases her. Should you say the same thing by the Avoma? We don't see that type of relationship. We take a look in the Rashi. You'll find the upper third of the Rashi column. Shekein oisra matira, sharei baylo hu haoisra. The husband in a regular marriage situation is the one that prevents her from marrying others. Lefikachu matira. Therefore, upon his death, she becomes released. Bemisosa through his death. Avol yevoma de kiddushe de baal koasri la. In the case of a yevoma, the original marriage to the husband, who's now deceased, that's what prevented her. Hech tehe misas hayavam atirasa. How can the death of the yavam release her? The yavam isn't the one that caused her restriction. The Gemara answers, Omar Ravashi, ho nami, in the case of the yavama, osra matira. You have the same phenomenon of the one that is the restrictive force is, upon his death, the releasing force. Yavam Osra, Yavam Sharila. It's really the Yavam that is the restricting factor. Namely, if there was no surviving brother, with the husband's death, she would have been free to marry. So the husband died, and she remains restricted. What's restricting her? It's the yavam that's restricting her. So, with his death, she will become released. So the original Kal Vachomer will serve as the basis for learning that the death of the Yavam is a release of the Yavama to marry anyone she wants. On the side of the Gemara, because we have new markings, you see the crown shape. So on the side, we have a mivneh, a structural note. Hatzois, we're going to see suggestions that are introduced with the crown shape, and then there's a dashed underline that in the Gemara text will highlight the main suggestion. These are suggestions, lumoid, derech kal vachomer, maskonos mesiyomos. We're going to attempt to apply Kal Vachomer logic to reach certain conclusions. But as the Gemara continues, you'll see that these suggestions are rejected. So let's see the first suggestion. The suggestion is that a regular marriage should be disbanded, or could be capable of being disbanded, through a shoe removal ceremony. Through Kal Vachomer logic. Uma Yavomo Sheino Yotze Beget Yotze Bechalitza, the Yavomo who is not released through a divorce document, but is released through Chalitza, Zu the Eishes Ish, the regular married woman, she Yotze Beget, she is released through a get, Einodin, she Yotze Bechalitza, then all the more so, Chalitza should be effective. In other words, we find chalitza working in a situation where get is not effective. So where a get is effective, certainly chalitza should be effective. Omar Kraw, the Pasuk, rejects this. Sefer Krisus, the Pasuk that describes the suspension of a marriage through a divorce document, says that the husband writes a Sefer Krisus. And we learn from that, Sefer Korsa, V'ein Dover Acher Korsa, only a written document, namely the divorce document, separates the two, in the case of Eishes Ish, and not something else, not Chalitza. So if you go back to the suggestion which we dashed underlined, that Eishes Ish, Eishes B'Chalitza, here you see we're rejecting that, based on the Pasuk. Utehe Yavama Yotze Beget Mikal Vachomer. A new suggestion. Let it be that a Yavama should be released from her Yibum bond through a get. And again, we're talking on a Torah level. In the past, we've mentioned that there are situations that on a rabbinic level, certain things have an effect. But on a strictly Torah level, a get is meaningless when given to the Yavama. But we're suggesting, let the Yavama, in fact, be released through a get. As follows. Uma eishes ishi yoytze b'chalitza, she'en yoytze b'chalitza yoytze b'get. In the case of a regular marriage, the shoe removal ceremony is not a way of releasing her. But yet, the get is effective. Zu she yotze b'chalitza. In the case of a yavama, who is released through the chalitza, ein din she yotze b'get. All the more so, get should be effective. Omar Kra. So the pasuk says, in the case of the yavama, kocha. The kocha equals ikuva. The word kocha is a word indicating something that is binding, something that's, we'll say, restrictive and exclusionary. So, what does that tell me? It tells me that only chalitza is the method of her release, to the exclusion of the get. Notice, as we go through the Gemara, you have the markings in front of you. Triangles appear, and quite a few of them, in fact. Under the Nosei Mivneh heading, and you might want to note that it continues to the top of Omid Beis, we have on the side of the Gemara the triangle featured. We call this a Ma'akav, an attempt to keep track of the give and take style. And with the point facing up, upwards, Haychacha di'ein yavama yoytze beget. Proofs that a get is ineffective. The inverted triangle represents kushios, or dechios, or questions, or rejections of that which is said prior. The Gemara just suggested that from the word kacha, which is a limitation or exclusionary expression, we learn only chalitza, not get. The Gemara asks, and you'll notice we have a long question marking. Just because the Torah has a, we'll say, this kind of restrictive word, does that preclude the possibility of applying Kal Vachomer logic? Here we have Kal Vachomer logic, as we saw following the crown. The Gemara says, well, there's a special word, a restriction word, limitation word, that short circuits the possibility of making the Kal Vachomer. Is that really true? V'ha Yom HaKippurim Dechtiv Goyro V'chuka. With regard to Yom Kippur, there is a special ceremony involving the choosing of a Chatos Sor Yom Kippur in the presence of a sister goat. Because the Sawyer Yom Kippur, which is brought as a chatas, a sin offering, is presented in the Azor of the Beis HaMikdash along with another goat, and that other goat has a unique role. It's sent out from the Beis HaMikdash to a cliff at some distance from Yerushalayim, and it serves as a means of atonement for the sins of Israel when it's pushed off the cliff. The details are available, of course, in the Chumash in Sefer Vayikra and in Maseches Yoma. The purpose of our discussion right now is to focus on the method through which the goats are designated. One as the Chatos Yom HaKippurim, as a sin offering, a regular korban, if you will, and the other for the unique role of being what we call the Sawyer L'Azazel. When you study the Torah, you see that there's something called a gorol, or gorolos in the plural. They're often translated as lots that are drawn. We can refer to it just by the term gorol. The gorol that's drawn from a container that's held in the Beis HaMikdash, two gorolos that are drawn from it and then placed on the animals respectively, one gorol saying that it's a chatas Lashem, it's a sacrifice for God, and the other gorol indicating its role as the Sawyer L'Azazel. So the determining factor is the drawing of these gorolos and thereby the animals are designated. I'm not going to get into the details. They're discussed at quite some length in Maseches Yuma. But for our purposes, it's a special gorol ceremony, and it's not through the vocal naming of the animal simply by proclaiming that this one is the Chatas Lashem, this one is to be the sin offering, and the other one is to be the Sawyer L'Azazel. The Gorol is the method for choosing the Yom HaKippurim goats for their respective roles. That's by way of background. And in the Chumash, in Parshas Achremos, in Sefer Vayikra, where the topic of Yom Kippur is taught, the word chukah appears, and chukah is one of those Torah expressions that indicates that things are to be just that way. It's a loshen that's me'akev. According to what was suggested in the chalitza discussion, we said only chalitza works, and we cannot make the Kal Vachomer because in the topic of chalitza there is the word kocha, which is a restrictive expression. And as we are presenting matters, it short circuits, it prevents us from making the Kal Vachomer. Now we ask, is that really so? That where you have an expression, the equivalent of kocha, we're going to mention the word chukah with Yom Kippur, does that mean that I cannot apply kavachomer logic? Well, watch what happens. So we'll read the question again from the beginning. V'chol hecho dika ikuva lo darshi kavachomer v'ho yom ha-kippurim v'chtiv goro v'chukah v'tanyo v'yaso chatos. That's the pasuk with regard to the sin offering of Yom Kippur. What designates it as a sin offering? Hagoro lo sechatos, the drawing of that particular goro upon which the indication that the animal is going to be a chatos, that's what determines it. The ein hashem oisechatos, but a verbal designation without the goro, that is ineffective. Sheyachol, I would have thought, without the posik saying v'yaso chatos, I would have thought as follows. V'halo dinhu, there's kavachomer logic. Uma b'mokoim shelo kidesh hagoro kidesh hashem, with regard to sacrifices year-round. The goro is not used. It's ineffective. It doesn't do anything. And yet, a verbal declaration, kidesh hashem, means by your sanctifying it orally, that is what determines the identity of the sacrifice. Mokom shekidesh hagoro leino din shekadesh hashem, on Yom Kippur, where the goro is effective, all the more so, I should be able to designate those two Yom Kippur goats by an oral declaration. Tamba lomer v'yaso chatos. The pasuk uses that expression, hagurlo sechatos, v'ein Hashem oy sechatos. V'taymo demate kro. Because of this restriction, this exclusionary term, v'yaso chatos, the gurl is the one that's the determining factor. I understand why the oral declaration is not effective. Ha lav hachi, had the Torah not said the asahu chatos, darshinon kavachomer, I would have applied the kavachomer to Yom Kippur and conclude that an oral declaration certainly would be effective. Afal gav dechsiv bechuka, even though within Yom Kippur the word chuka appears. So you see from this that chuka per se, that a limitation expression we had before the word kocha, does not itself prevent kavachomer logic from being applied. If that's the case, so then I go right back to my original suggestion, the most recent crown, and say the yavama should be able to be released through leget. Omar Kroh. So there's a pasuk that says law. The pasuk says because of law sefer krisis, when man is divorcing his wife, he shall write unto her a get. That's sefer krisis. And the word law is a limitation expression. It's exclusionary. Law unto her v'lo liyavoma, but unto a yavoma a get would not be effective. Question: v'hema law lishma? The word law doesn't necessarily mean to exclude Yavama. It's there to tell me that a get must be written lishma. That means that when writing the get, the writer of the get has to have in mind for whom he is writing the get. Lishma, for her sake, for the specific woman's purpose. Yigmar says, you're right. However, trey law ksivi. You have an additional law word. And with the additional law, I understand not only lishma, but also the exclusion of the get for a yavoma. Question: Va'kati mi boya le chad law lishma, ve'idoch law, velo law ulechaverta. I have already two needs, or I should say, the use for the two laws. One is lishma, and the other is that if a man has two wives with the same names, and he wants to divorce both of them, he cannot write one get for both wives. Rather, he has to prepare a separate get for each one. Rashi says, "V'lo law v'l'chaverta, Rashi, toward the end of the Rashi column, Sheshmoisem Shavim, a man has a wife with two names, with the same names. She'ein Shtei Noshim is Gashes Beget Echad. Two women cannot be divorced with one get. Im Kosav Ploni Megaresh Plonis Uplonis Noshav. So and so is divorcing so and so and so and so his wives. That would not be effective. The Gemara continues. So I don't have a source yet for get not being effective by Yevama. Hello Omar Kro, Na'al. The Posik says in the case of Yevama, the shoe. Na'al in midi achrino lo. Only a shoe works to release the Yevama. And Rashi points out there's an extra presence of the word na'al. It's a Kro Yesera that's being darshan. And that extra word now tells me shoe, yes, but nothing else, not get. Question. V'hai now lehochi hu d'osa? Does now come to exclude get? Ho mi boyale lecha d'tanya. I need now for that which is taught in the following source. The pasuk says, na'alo. His shoe, ain't the na'alo. From if I had just the word na'alo, I would have thought only the shoe owned by the yavam, the brother-in-law himself. Na'al shel koloda minole. How do we know that the shoe of others removed from the brother-in-law's foot is also kosher? Is also effective. Tamalomer na'al riba. By the presence of the extra word na'al, I know to include even someone else's shoe. In Cain, ma tamud lomar na'alo. So what's the purpose of the vav, which was is a word in the possessive form, his shoe? So the word, the vav in that word, his, isn't to the exclusion of someone else's, but rather na'alo haroilo. The shoe that's going to be removed from the yavam's foot must be a shoe that's fit for the yavam. Prat to the exclusion of legodol shein yochol alechbo. A shoe that's oversized, that it's so large that if he would try to walk in it, it would slip right off his foot. Prat, the cotton chain choifes roof raglo. Likewise, has to be fit for him to the exclusion of a shoe that's so small that it doesn't cover the majority of his foot. Prat, another type of situation is excluded through the vav of na'alo, and we continue at the top of Omid Beis, the mesulayim shein lo okev. It's a reference to a shoe whose sole has been ripped away. So the word na'al is used already for that. Im kain nichtoiv kro na'al. My ha-na'al. The Torah actually writes the word with a hey on it. Shamas mino tarti. From the presence of the word ha-na'al, I can learn both points. I can exclude the effectiveness of a get for Yevama, and I'm able to learn that the shoe, even if it's not the Yevam's own shoe, it's still effective as a means of chalitza. Well, now we have a new Mishnah on the side of the Gemara. We have a Nosei Kleli, a general topic heading, and you'll note that this is a very long topic, general topic, and that's Eved Ivri, the Jewish servant. How a Jew becomes someone's servant. So, in general, there are two, we'll call, broad possibilities. One is called Moicher Atzmo. One is where he sells himself into servitude. The second is a situation where the court sells him into servitude. The Mishnah. Eved Ivri nikne bekesef ubishtar. He can be acquired by payment of money or by through a contract, through a document. Vekoyne atzmo bishnayim. Bishonim, a correction. Again, let's read that again. Vekoyne atzmo bishonim ubiyovel ubgron kesef. He acquires his independence. Bishonim means at the end of 6 years. Biyovel is the arrival of the Jubilee year, within the six-year working period that the Torah mandates. The arrival of the Jubilee year, the Yovel, will also release him, even though he doesn't work the 6 years that the Torah describes. A special, say, power that the arrival of the Yovel year has. If the Yovel year arrives in the middle of his 6 years, anticipated 6 years of service, will be grown kesef. That's a process or a procedure whereby money is paid for his release. He might have cash. He can offer the one who bought him the value of the remaining years of service. You can calculate how much was paid for his service, for his servitude, and divide that. We're talking about 6 years, divided the amount of money paid into six parts, so then I know the value, the per year value of this man's servitude, so that the Eved could redeem himself by paying the amount of or the value of the balance of years that he has yet to work, and thereby go free. Yisera olav amo ho'ifriya, the female servant sold into servitude, has an aspect of release that the male does not. Shekina es atzma besimonim. The girl, she's first of all sold by her father, provided she hasn't reached age 12. So she can be sold under that, a 10-year-old, 9-year-old, but when she produces simonim, pubic hairs, which are basically around age 12, she goes free. So simonim, sprouting forth of pubic hairs, is a means of release for the female, for the amo evriya, but not for, has no relevance to the male. When we speak about an Eved Ivri, when you study the Torah, you know that he may decide to stay on beyond the 6 years. If he does, so the ear of the Eved is bored, and he works until the arrival of the Yovel year. He's called the Nirtza. HaNirtza Nikne Beritzia. He becomes bound to work till the Yovel. Of course, he desired such, but the binding force is the boring of the ear. He gains his release from servitude either through the arrival of the Yovel year or the death of the owner. The Nirtza does not continue working for the heirs, for his owner's heirs. Rashi on the side, Rashi says right across from here, "V'misas adon ve'eno oivid is yorshov." He doesn't serve the heirs. Aval evet hanimka betchiloso umeis adon b'sof sheish, a Jewish servant who hasn't served yet the 6 years, and the master dies within the 6 years, mashlimon liyorshav. He does work the balance of the 6 years with the heirs. On the side of the Gemara, we have the Nosei / Mivneh heading. And we've noted that the topic here is Minolon Shenikne Bekesef. From where do you know that an Eved Ivri is acquired through payment of money? The double underline is explained, Mikrim Shoinim, different cases, Shekinyan Eved Ivri, where an Eved Ivri is acquired. So there are different situations that will be highlighted. The diamond highlights the word Minolon, Shenikne B'Mikrim Enal B'Kesef. In the cases that we just indicated with the double underline, the Gemara will be asking, well, from where do you know that Kesef is the means of acquisition? We've numbered off the different situations that the Gemara will discuss. Number one, Nimkar La'akum. Jewish individual sold into servitude to a Gentile. Number two, Nimkar L'Yisrael. A person sold to a Yisrael. The Gemara will itemize case of a girl sold to a Jew, or an Eved, a man sold to a Jew. Number three, Nimkar Ayadei Beis Din. someone who is sold by the court. The court, we'll say, forces his sale. It imposes his being sold. And number four, mochar atzmo, a person sells himself. Another marking that you'll see, just if you allow your eye to skim down the lines of Gemara, which we always recommend when dealing with series markings, see the extent of the Gemara, a slashed underline, dash type underline, highlights the word Ashkechon. In other words, the Gemara will say, fine, we found it. Ashkechon means we found it, whatever we're trying to prove with regard to this. And then what about the next? As the Gemara will be highly, we'll say, structured and a repetitive style. Now the Gemara. Eved Ivri Nikna Bekesef, that a Jewish servant is acquired through the payment of money. Minolon, from where do we know that paying money is a means of binding him to his servitude? Omar Krah. Now here's a pasuk that deals with the case of a Jew sold to a Gentile. And it says, Mikesef Miknoso. Here we're not going to get involved with the source or the context of the pasuk. We just notice the words that money was used miknoso to acquire him. Alamed shenikne bekesef. So this tells me that a Gentile can acquire a Jew for servitude by paying him money. Ashkechon eved ivri hanimkar leivid kechovim. So that's a fine source for that specific case. And you're saying, well, why can't that be a precedent for everything else? Well, hayil v'chol kinyanu bekesef. I understand that kesef works by a goy, by a Gentile, because as far as kinyonim are concerned, in general, sales and purchases and commercial dealings with Gentiles, the kinyon that a Jew would make with a goy, the kinyon is the gesture that binds or clinches the deal clincher. When dealing with Gentiles, money is the means of clinching deals. The goyim don't have the other forms of kinyan, as far as this Gemara is concerned. That is, for example, meshicha, mishal, drawing. If you were to draw the slave unto him, that would not be effective. The concept of meshicha, according to Rashi's approach to the Gemara, is limited to Jews, not to goyim. There is quite a bit of discussion on that topic. If you want to delve into it more, you can look in the Tosfos here at the top of the page. But for our purposes, the idea of kesef being effective by a goy is pretty much expected, because all other kinyonim that he makes will be with the payment of money. Nimkar v'yisrominol, and from where do we know that a servant of Jew that sold to a fellow Jew, his acquisition is accomplished through the paying of money? Omar Krah. Now this pasuk comes from the topic of the girl sold into servitude, and it says the hefda melamed shemigaras pidyona v'yotza. We touched on this earlier in the Mishnah. We saw the term giron kesef. This has to do with a girl that was sold into servitude, but in the interim period before she reached 12, the family wanted to redeem her. So they figure the balance of the years of service that remain, and they pay that value to the one who bought her. Rashi expounds on this a bit. Let's look at Rashi together. A couple lines down from here, Shemigaras Pidyona. Rashi says, Midaloksi Vinifda. It doesn't say Vinifda. Mashma Vehafda. Or Vehefda. Sha'af Ha'odoin Mesaya Bifidyona. It indicates that the owner is also participant in her redemption. Alma Bekesef Nikne. This shows us that the original purchase was with money. In other words, the person that bought her paid money for her, and now he is getting part in return. I think that's what Rashi means when he says that the master is participant in her release. He paid money, and now he's getting money back, part of that. In other words, the balance. De'i lo kona bedomim my megara. If he hadn't paid for her in the initially, so what's being reduced? So the fact that this phenomenon exists, vehefda, whereby the family of the girl pays the master part of the amount that he originally paid for her, shows that the original acquisition was through the master buying her, paying money for her. The Gemara continues. Ashkechon Amoy Vriya. We've found that the purchase of the female Jewish servant is accomplished through money. And we can say, Hayil Umiktisha Bekesef Mikta Mekesef. There's precedent for money working with regard to the girls, the females. We find that she gets married through kesef. So kesef is a familiar means of, we'll say, acquisition with regard to women. Eved Ivri Minolon. How about a male Jewish servant sold to another Jew? How do we know there that money is effective in binding him to a servitude? Omar Kro, the Pasuk says, Ki imocher lecho achicho ho ivri, oi ho ivriya, vavodcho sheishanim. Makish, in this Pasuk, we see reference made to a man and a woman, and working up till 6 years. Makish ivri livriya. The Pasuk compares the man to the woman. And in the case of the woman, we already proved that money is a means of binding her. The purchase of her for cash, for kesef, works. So too, with regard to the male. Ashkechon mochru beisdin. Up till now, we've found sources for a person sold by the court, that money is... money works on its own to accomplish the deal to bind him. Once again, the psukim that we've cited, the pasuk from Devarim Perek Tezvah pasuk Yud Beis, that deals with mochru beisdin. Mocher atzmo minon. How about a man that sells himself into servitude? That his he'll be bound to servitude by having received money. Answer: Yolif Sochir Sochir. There's a Gzera Shava. One word Sochir appears in the case of Machru Beisdin Dvorim Perek Tesvav Posuk Yudches, and in Mocher Atzmo Shmois. Correction. Vayikra Perek Chavhei Posuk Mem, you also see the word Sochir. So through the Gzera Shava, I know, just like in the case of Mochru Beisdin, Kesef works, so too in the case of Mocher Asmur, he sells himself. Ha Nicha Lamandi Yolif Sochir Sochir. That's a fair conclusion if you accept, if you have the tradition of Sochir Sochir. The opinion that doesn't have a tradition of socher socher, my ikah lemeimar. What's going to be his source for moicher atzmo that kesef works? Omar kro. So there's a posuk that says, and now this posuk speaks about someone sold to a goy, someone sold to a Gentile. And in the parsha of being sold to a Gentile, we saw above that a Gentile acquires the Eved Ivri, the Jew, through Kesef. The beginning of that section of Nimkar Le'akum starts V'chi tasig, the vov. The vov is a connector expression. And when you look in the Chumash, in that part of the Torah, take a look at what comes before Nimkar La'akum. Well, I'll tell you. What comes before Nimkar La'akum happens to be the case of Mocher Atzmo, one who sold himself. So the Vav links together Moisif Al Inyan Rishon. The Vav serves to show that we're continuing adding to that which was seen previously. The Yilmad Elyon Mitachton, and since we're connecting the two together, I'm able to say I will derive the above mentioned Elyon, the earlier mentioned topic, which was Nimkar Li Yisrael, from information you find Tachton, the later information, Nimkar Li Akum. And as we said, Nimkar Li Akum, money is seen, is stated as the means of acquisition. Therefore, a male sold to Yisrael, money will also be the means of acquisition. We have a new marking, and also a subtopic heading on the side of the Gemara, the Tat Nosei. Let's read what we've written. What we've written here, basically, we've seen already in the Gemara, but notice what we have on the side. Mocher Atzmo, the Nikne Bekesef, Nilman Migzera Shava, Socher Socher. We saw, certainly one opinion, that one who sells himself into servitude is bound through money being paid. That's learned through Gzeira Shava, the words Socher Socher that you find in the topic of Mocher Mochru Basin and Mocher Atzmo. Mi Mochru Basin, as we just said. And in the case of Mochru Basin, we already saw that money is the means of acquisition. Yesh Lohair Shaha Gemora Choshevest Delo Kuli Alma Savri Diyesh Gzeira Shava Zeh. The Gemara is now going to embark on a very long discussion with the assumption, and it seemed pretty clear to make this assumption, that there is an opinion that doesn't accept that Gezeira Shava. Why are we couching our words and speaking so reservedly? The reason for it is, and we will make note of this on the side of our Gemara where we have a double-starred note, where the Gemara is going to start now searching for the opinion that does not accept that Gezeira Shava. This search is going to continue until Daf Tes Vav Amid Beis. Notice how long this discussion is going to be. And our note indicates that at the end of this whole process we're not going to find such an opinion. There's a Tesis in Maseches Vav Amid Tzia that indicates that in fact we don't have such a Mad Omar. So the Gemara presented the seeming possibility of such a Mad Omar, but we're not successful in finding him. The Mivneh, the structural note that we have in our margin, do you notice where the bow tie appears? We indicate that these markings are going to continue till Daf Tes Vav Amid Beis. Once again, it's quite a long piece of discussion. The bow tie highlights Man Tana, and the Gemara is asking, who is the Tana, the Lo Yolif Socher Socher, who does not accept the Gezeira Shava? When you see a crown, you'll notice that the Gemara at that point is Dechios. The Gemara is going to be rejecting whatever we have said, and it's going to say the Kuliyam Yolif Socher Socher. Well, everyone agrees in what was presented as seemingly a Machlokes. The Gemara will say, no, everyone agrees that we learn the Gezeira Shava. That's by way of structure. The topic that will come under discussion immediately, you'll see, is featured under our Nosei, our topic heading. There's a Machlokes Tanakam of Reb Elazar, a disagreement between the first opinion and Reb Elazar appears later. Im yesh lechalek bein moicher atzmo liyosev et ivri lemochru beisdin. Do we make a distinction between someone who sells himself as an eved ivri versus someone sold by the court? legabi kama halachas shel eved ivri, regarding a number of laws that are relevant to the eved ivri, do we make a distinction? Tanakama mechalek, Rebbe Elazar ain't a mechalek. The Tanakama will say there is, you make a distinction, they're not the same. Rebbe Elazar says no, they're to be parallel. You might already, if you're quick, you're jumping ahead, just by this note, the suggestion that the Tanakama says, do not compare, we make a distinction between someone who sells himself versus someone that was sold by the court into servitude, he probably is the opinion that does not have a gzeirah shavah, socher socher. Socher socher are the keywords comparing mochar atzmo to the case of mocharu based in. But if you're going to say they're not to be compared, they're not the same, so you don't hold from that gzeirah shavah. And naturally, Rebbe Elazar says, no, they're the same. All the laws that apply to one apply to the other, as are listed in the upcoming source, the four laws. He probably holds from the Gezeira Shava. The Gemara, though, after making this presentation, if you look in your marked Gemara, where Abaye appears, you'll see it's the first crown. If we read that phrase, it's said in the name of Abaye, the Kulei Alma Yolev Socher Socher, actually everyone agrees that you compare one to the other. If that's the case, so we have a lot of work ahead of us. If you compare them, then why on the four counts that were mentioned in the source that the Tanakama did not compare them? So that we'll go over that in Mirtz Hashem when we get to it. All we're trying to do now is just give a general framework of a sugya that's very long, and unfortunately, because of the context of our shiurim within the Daf Yomi spirit, we're not going to be able to complete this sugya in one shiur. So now we turn to the Gemara. Uman Tana Delo Yolif Sochir Sochir. Who is the Tana that doesn't accept the Gezerah Shava? And as a result of not accepting the Gezerah Shava, so we said before, in order to establish that a Mocher Atzmo is sold through Kesef, came onto a new Limud, the Vov Vachi Sasig Limud. Well, so who is that? Answer. Hi Tana Hu Desanya. And you notice we have a long marking, long answer. You'll discover the Tana that does not learn Socher Socher is the Tanakama in the following source. And as we mentioned earlier, in this source there are a list of halachas, actually four halachas that are relevant to an Eved Ivri, and according to the Tanakama, only in the case of one and not in the case of the other. Hamocher Atzmo Nimkar L'Sheish V'Yeser Al-Sheish. Someone who sells himself can sell himself, if unstipulated, he'll be sold for a period of 6 years. And if he stipulates, he can make it more, yes sir, more than 6 years. Machru Basin, Eino Nimkar L'Sheish. Someone sold by the court, up till 6 years. Hamocher Atzmo Eino Nirtza. Someone who sells himself does not go through or is not entitled to having his ear bored and remaining in servitude till the Yovel. Machru Beisdin Nirtza. Machru Mocher Atzmo Ein Manikim Lo. One who sells himself into servitude, at the end of the servitude, he's Ein Manikim Lo. He doesn't receive the grant that slaves get when they go free. Jewish slaves. Machru Beisdin Manikim Lo. When sold by the court, In Devarim Perek Tezvov, which is the part of the Torah that deals with Machru Beisdin, you find a section of Sukkim dealing with Ha'anoka, a grant that the master gives the slave, the Jewish slave, upon departure. Number 4, Hamocher Atzmo Ein Rabo Moser Lo Shifcho Kenainis. Machru Beisdin Rabo Moser Lo Shifcho Kenainis. One who sells himself is not to receive from his master a heathen bondmaid to mate with and produce slave children. However, someone sold by the court, a Jewish man sold into servitude by the court, the master who binds him is entitled to give him a heathen bondmaid. It's a very unusual phenomenon of a Jewish man cohabiting with a woman that is not officially a Jewish woman. But this is a special dispensation made for those that buy slaves sold by the court. They can give the Jewish slave that they bought mate with a heathen bondmaid for producing slave children. The Tanakhama then, each step of the way, made a distinction. The dot underline, I guess, is an obvious type marking where we simply highlighted Machru based it. Rebbe Elazar Omer, Zebezeh, in both cases, Eino Nimkar Elo Lashesh. The basic sale is only for 6 years. The Zebezeh and Nirtza both can subject themselves to the boring of year and work till the Yovel, till the Jubilee year. Vizebezeh Manikim Lo, both are entitled to a grant, a financial grant upon their departure. Vizebezeh Rabbi Moshe Lo Shifu Kananis, and both are to receive, if the master desires, a heathen bondmaid. My lab, Bahal Kulifli. Is it not so that the following is their point of disagreement? The Tanakhama Lo Yolif Socher Socher, the Tanakhama who made the distinctions, does not have the Gezeira Shava between those words, between the topic of Mocher Asmo and Mocher Bezdin. Therefore, that which is not stated explicitly by Mocher Asmo is simply not applied. V'Reb Elazar Yolif Socher Socher. Reb Elazar says, even though these points were not mentioned in the Torah by the Mocher Atzmo, they are mentioned by the Mochru Beisdin. Socher Socher says, whatever is stated by one applies to the other. You can see this is the end of our, we call the long answer. So the Tana, who is not Yolev Socher Socher, is at this point thought to be the Tana Kama, the first opinion in this source. Omer of Tavyumi Mishmedabai, he comes to disagree. The Kulei Alma, Reb Elazar and the Rabbanan, in the source, Yolif Socher Socher, they both have the Gezerah Shava. You notice we have a brackets that starts here, and its bracket is actually very long. And if you follow the Gemara down Tes Vavam Aleph till the end of the brackets, right afterwards it says Ela Man Tana Delo Yolif Socher Socher. That's a question that follows on the heels of what was just said by Abaye, that everyone here, the Tanakhama and Rebbe Elazar, hold from the Gezeirah Shava. So the Gemara naturally asks, after the bracketed section, so who's the Tana that doesn't hold from it? After all, the Gemara before this mentioned there was a Tana that doesn't hold from it. There was a Man Delo Yolif, we said above. Well, who is it? As far as the balance of our shiur today, in this particular shiur, we do not anticipate reading the bow tie number 2. That will be picked up, Mirtz Hashem, in our next shiur. But up to that point, we have to focus now on the premise that everyone holds from Sachir Sachir. Then why in the source was the Tanakhama making all these distinctions between Mochru Beisdin and Mochru Atzmo? Let us glance at the side under the Mivneh heading. Before we get into the Gemara text, the bracketed section, we have a double underline which highlights Mai Taimo Detana Kamo, etc. Each time this appears, the Gemara will be asking, what is the reason for the Tanakhama who said in points 1, 2, 3, and 4 that Mocher Atzmo is different than Mocher Bezdin? Legabi Dalid Chilukim Bebraisa, regarding the four distinctions in the Braisa. Each time you will notice also V'idoch, the other one. This is L'shem Ma'akav. We've squiggle underlined the word V'idoch for the purpose of keeping track of the give and take in the Gemara, Ma Rebelozer v'Tanakama Oinim Echad L'Sheni. What does each one answer to the other? Once again, with the given that they agree on the Socher Socher Gzera Shava. So they disagree, though, on each one of the 4 points in a specific manner. So that even though, in general, they agree Socher Socher, but with regard to these 4 points, there is something that causes a disagreement between them. With all of that having been said, and also, by all means, take note of the length of these very long brackets, we now turn to the Gemara itself. V'hocha v'hai kra k'miflegi. In this source, so you'll find that they argue over a particular pasuk. My taima d'tana kama d'omar moicher atzmo nimkar l'sheish v'yeser al sheish. Why, according to the Tana Kama, is someone that sells himself can be sold for not only 6 years, but can stipulate for more than 6 years. And when we say this, we're saying at the outset of his sale, he can be sold for even more than 6 years. Answer: Mi'et Rachmona Gabi Mochru Beisdin. The Torah limits, has a mi'ut, an exclusionary expression regarding someone who was sold by the court. Va'avodcha sheish shanim. This is in Dvarim Perek Tesvov, which is where the Torah discusses Mochru Beisdin, and it says, and he will work for you 6 years. Ze v'lo mocher atzmo. He, i.e., he was sold by the Beisdin, and not someone who sells himself. V'idach Rebelozer, v'avodcha. What does he learn from that? Because after all, Reb Elozer compared the two. Mocher Atzmo and Mocher Bezin can stipulate for more than 6 years. So Reb Elozer, Vavodecho, Lucho, Velo, Liyoresh. He learns from that he will work for the one to whom he was sold and not to his heir. In other words, if the master dies, he does not continue working for the heir. The Rashi on the second wide line under the Gemara text says, "V'lo liyorshim deino oved lo es habas v'lo es soach im ein lo ben." He will not work for other heirs unless he has a son. In other words, he will not work for a daughter of the master, nor for the brother, Avol Oved, who es haben kid l'kamon. However, the son of the one that bought him can benefit from the work for the balance of the years. Ve'idach the Tana Kama, ve'avodcho achrinoksiv. He has another vavodcho word to exclude the other heirs. Ve'idach, Rebelozer. Who? What does he do with that other vavodcho word? That is laharzoas odoin hu deosa. It's there for the purpose of appeasing the master upon the completion of his servitude to provide his slave with the grant. As the pasuk says, it shouldn't be something given begrudgingly. We've included the pasuk that's relevant at the bottom corner of the page, Dvarim Perek Tezvah Pasuk Yudches. It says there, Lo yikshe beinecha b'shalechecha yisichavshi meimach. It should not be difficult in your eyes when you are sending him free. Ki mishnes ha'socher avodcha sheishonim v'racho Hashem lekecha v'chol asher ta'aseh. And in that pasuk we are beseeching or exhorting the owner to give graciously a grant to the slave upon his departure. We continue in the Gemara. My taima de Tana Kama de Yomar. Why? Once again, if the Tana Kama and Reb Elozer agree that you make the Gzer Shav of Socher Socher, then why regarding this point Moicher Atzmo Einu Nirtza? Why does Tana Kama say that one who sells himself is not subject to the boring of the ear, which denotes a continued work or servitude till the ovale? Answer: Midamiyat Rachmona Gabi Mohru Beisdin. where the Torah has a limitation in the context of Mahru Basin, it says V'rotza Adoinov es Oznoi Bamartzea. It's pointed out, Rashi points out that this parsha of Ritzias Oizen in Shmos Perek Chof Aleph is talking about a case of Mahru Basin. Because in Shmos Chof Aleph Posek Beis, the Torah says Ki Sikne, which is mashma, someone who acquired him from others, meaning from the Beis Din, through the Beis Din. So this is viewed as a parsha. The Ritzias Oizen is viewed as a parsha that deals with Mochruhu Beis Din. We've mentioned already that Dvorim Perek Tezvov deals with Mochruhu Beis Din. So in addition to Dvorim Perek Tezvov, you have the psukim here from Shmois Perek Chof Aleph dealing with Mahru Beis Din. So the pasuk says, "V'rotza Adonai ve'oznoi b'martzea," and we see in this pasuk the word "his ear," ozno, his ear, ozno shelo, v'lo oznoi shel moicher atzmo. Once again, you have this limitation expression. His ear, the ear of the one who was sold by Beis Din, is subject to ritzia, to the boring, not the ear of one who sold himself. The Gemara continues at the top of Daf Tes Vov. Ve'idoch. Now, Rebbe Elozer, who said that they are like one another regarding Ritzias Oizen. So, what does he do with the Ozno word? So he says, Hahu Hahi L'Gzeres Shavu D'Asa. That word is needed for a Gzeres Shava, which is explained immediately. D'Sanya Minay, or Rebbe Elozer Omer Minayin. The Ritzia Shiva Oizen Yamanis. From where do you know that the boring of the ear of a slave, of the Jewish servant, is in his right ear? Namar Kan Oizen, Venamar Lalon, in the case of the Mitzora. The Mitzora is someone who had become defiled as a result of Tzoras, a form of skin discoloration, which the Torah dedicates quite a few psukim to in the middle of Sefer Vayikra. And in the case of the Mitzora, when he finally achieves, departs from his state of defilement and achieves Taros, he has to undergo a process in the Beis HaMikdash dealing with the application of sacrificial blood and oil. And in that process, oil and blood are applied to his, amongst different parts of his body, the ear. So it says there, by the Mitzora, Ozen, v'nemar lahalon by Mitzora Ozen, ma lahalon yamin, just like by the case of the Mitzora, it's the right ear, and that is spelled out in the Torah in Vayikra Perek Yud Dalet Posuk Yud Dalet. So afkan, so too by the Ritzia, it is yamin, the right ear. So you see that the word Ozen is needed for a Gezerah Shava, for a word comparison. V'idoch, the Tana Kama, Im Kain, if the posuk of the Ozen word was only for Gzeirah Shava, Lemokra Ozen, my Ozno. Why is it in the possessive form? The Ozno, his ear, that has a sound of exclusion to it, as the Tana Kama already explained. V'idoch, Rebbe Elozer, what about the fact that the word appears not just as Ozen, which really would have been sufficient for the Gzeirah Shava, for the din of right ear? Why does the vav appear? So Rebbe Elozer says, "Ahu mi boyale ozno v'lo ozno." The boring of an ear is done to a male servant that wants to work till the ovel. It's not something that is done to a Jewish girl that had been sold into servitude. Ozno is in the feminine form, not her ear. So it's his ear, hence the possessive form, the male form, and not her ear. V'idoch, the Tanakama, nafka lo, he learns out the exclusion of the female servant from the whole parsha of ear, boring of Ritzia, mivim yoimar ho'eved. The pasuk that describes the servant that wants to continue working till the Jubilee year, it says, when the male slave says he wants to continue, and hence the ear is bored. Ho'eved v'lo amah. The reference to the male slave is exclusionary. The slave, the male slave, and not the bondmaid. V'idach miboyalei, Rebbe Lozar, what does he do with the pasuk of im yoimar ha'evet? After all, Rebbe Lozar learned exclusion of amo from the ozno word. So what does he do with v'im yoimar ha'evet? Answer, miboyalei atsh yoimar kshu evet. This is discussed in greater detail later in the perek, but it has to do with the slave who wants to continue working till the yovel. He has to declare his interest before the end of the 6 years, namely while he is still in servitude. Not if the 6 years lapse and then he should say he wants to continue, then we don't allow. V'idach me'eved ho'eved nafka. The Tanakama learns this idea of ach yomek shu'eved, that his allowance to continue till the yovel is provided, he says, while he's still in servitude, is learned from the hay of that word. V'idach Rebbe Lozar, eved ho'eved lo darish. Rebbe Lozar doesn't see any significance in the hay of that word. My time o de Tanakama de Omar, Moichir Atzmo Ein Meranikim Lo. What is the basis for the Tanakama, who once again made the distinction on point three, the issue of the grant given to a slave upon his departure, given to him by his master? The Moichir Atzmo is not eligible, is not expected to receive that grant. So what is the reason for the Tanakama concluding thusly? Miyet rachmono gabi mochru beistin. The Torah has an exclusionary expression by the fellow sold by the courts into servitude. Ha'anek ta'anik lo. That's what it says in Devarim Tezvav, the section of the Torah dealing with mochru beistin. And the word lo, the ha'anek means to issue the grant, the financial benefits upon completion of servitude. It says, you grant it unto him. Lo, v'lo l'mochir atzmo, unto him, he who is sold by Beis Din, and not to the one who sells himself. V'idach, Rebbe Lozar, who compared mochir Beis Din l'mochir atzmo, that both deserve the grant. What about this word, lo? So he says, ahumi boya le lo, v'lo l'yorshav. The servant is given the grant, but the descendants of the servant, if let's say the servant died before receiving the grant is not given to his heirs. Rashi appears a few lines above, V'lo liyorshev im lo hispik lahaniko ad shemes. If the master didn't have a chance to give the grant to the slave until the slave himself died. Following the girsa of the Gra, we read two lines later what we've inserted between the lines, and we're not going to read the Gemara text immediately. We're reading what's between the lines. I hope everyone sees we're skipping down two lines. V'idach, the Tanakama. What about the issue of excluding heirs? Trey, lo, ksivi. The word lo appears twice. One of them he will use for excluding the need to pay the heirs the grant. V'idach, we're continuing what reading that which we have between the lines. V'idach again is Rebbe Lozar. Hahu, the extra lo, miboya le, lo v'lo l'bal choyvoy. The grant is paid by the master to the newly freed or released Jewish servant. It's paid by the master to him, but it's not to be paid to creditors to whom the servant owes money. In general, if A owes B and B owes C, C can collect directly from A. In this case, we have a scene where the grant is owed by the master, we'll call him A, to the servant B. Let's say the servant carries debts that he owes to Mr. C. In the case of the Hanukkah, the grant, Mr. C cannot claim from Mr. A, the master, the grant as a form of payment for debts that the slave owes Mr. C. And that's what I need the word lo for. Lo v'lo l'bal chovel. Notice we have a long point here. And it's unto the servant himself. That's where the grant would be paid. The master is obligated to pay the servant, but he's not obligated to pay those that the servant owes debts to. Why is it important to have this gzeiros hakosuv, this exclusion of the creditors? Midesvirulon bi'amal k'Rabbi Nosson, since we hold in general, like Rabbi Nosson desanya, and in the Tanakh source that we're about to read, we will see this idea of, in general, if A owes B money and B owes C money, so C can collect directly from A. C can demand from A, pay me, because the money that you're paying me is the money that you were expecting to pay B, but B owes me that amount. So, Amar Rabbi Nosson, minayin l'neishe b'chaver amona, from where do we know that someone who is collecting money from so-and-so, b'chavero b'chavero, and someone else in turn is collecting from him, minayin shemotzin mizel v'noisin mazeh, from where do we know that we take from one and give to the other? Meaning, as we said before, if A owes B and B owes C, from where do we know that we'll take money from Mr. A and give it directly to Mr. C? Talmud lomar v'nosan l'asher oshem lo. That's a pasuk, and from that pasuk we learn that the money that's owed is given to the final party on the line. So that's true in general. Also, lo lafuki comes the word lo in the context of grants paid by owners to slaves upon their departure. The Jewish servants that have completed their years of service, that grant is not to be collected from by outside creditors to whom the slave owes money, and that's learned from that not to be collected from the master, as is derived from this exclusionary expression lo. V'idoch the Tanakama ba'almanami lo svirlon k'Rabbi Nosson. The Tanakama doesn't hold from Rabbi Nosson's teaching to begin with, so I don't need a word to exclude something that I don't hold from in the first place. My time all the Tanakamo de Omar, the fourth point, Moicher Atzmo Ein Rabo Moicher Lo Shifo Kanainis. From where does the Tanakama know that one who sells himself to a master, that in such a case the master does not give him a heathen bondmaid? When, as we said so many times already, there is a gzeira shava that compares the mocher asma to the mocher basin, and a mocher basin, we know the master gives him a heathen bondmate. Why not then, in the case of mocher asma, when you say that the Tanakama holds from the gzeira shava, the Gemara answers, miyet rachmona, gabi mochru basin. There's a special limitation expression by mochru basin, which says, im adoinov yitain loy isha. If the master gives him a woman, the woman being the heathen bondmaid, lo v'lo l'mocher atzmo, to him, he was sold by the court, is entitled, or the master is entitled to give him the shivcha kenainis, but not someone who sells himself into servitude. Ve'idach, Rebbe Lozer, who said that mocher atzmo does get a shivcha kenainis. What about the word lo? Lo bal korcho. The word lo teaches me that even if the Jewish servant is not interested, is not accepting of the heathen bondmaid, the master can impose her upon him. Ve'idoch l'tanakama michi mishnes char sochir nafkolor. L'tanakama learns the idea of bal korcho from the posuk that is going to be cited now in the Tanaic source, Dvarim Perek Tezvah Pasuk Yud Ches, and the teaching will become clear as we go through a few lines in order to finally get to the end of the source. So once again, the Tanakama, who used the word lo as an exclusionary expression, where does he, the Tanakama, learn bal korchoi regarding the giving of the heathen bondmaid to the Jewish servant? So, this sanya, we continue with the source, ki mishnes har sochir avodecha, sochir eno oved elo b'yom. Eved Ivri Oved Bein Bayom Uvein Balaila. A Sochir works only by day, and Eved Ivri, a Jewish servant, works by day and night. V'chitala al daitcha she Eved Ivri Oved Bein Bayom Bein Balaila. Is that something you should really consider, that a Jewish servant can be made to work day and night? V'alok far namar, but does it not already say in the Pasuk, Ki toiv lo imoch? The Torah expects the duration of the servitude to be something pleasant to the Jewish servant. It's good for him with you. Imcha b'maychol, imcha b'mishte. He eats what you eat, he drinks what you drink, you the master. So what does it mean that, what does this source mean when it says that Eved Ivri works by day and by night? From here we see this idea of being in service by day and by night. It's a reference to his being in intimacy with a heathen bondmaid. So you have that aspect of night, if you will, where he is in service. And of course from that union, children will be born and they're slaves to the master. So the master benefits from the Jewish servant in this respect. Around the clock. The other opinion, V'idoch, Rebbe Lozer, I mehosam, had I just had this limud from Ki Mishnis Chasocher Avodcho, I would have thought, Hava Mino, Hani Mili Midaite, this idea of the Jewish servant being with the heathen bondmaid is only with his own approval. But against his will, I would have thought no. Therefore, I need the word lo to tell me im adonav yitain lo isha. If the master forces upon him the heathen bondmaid, that's acceptable. Even i.e., meaning even against the servant's will. You can see at this point the brackets close. And Mr. Shemin, our next shiur, so we continue our search for the Tana that does not hold from the Gzereshav of Socher Socher. Obviously, in order to pick up the next shiur, you'd have to be familiar with the Gemara that we had learned today in our shiur, making reference to a man delo yolif Socher Socher, who needed the pasuk of Vechi Sasig to establish that a Mocher Atzmo is acquired through Kesef in addition to someone who is Nimkar Liakum. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.